Hello, my name is Roger Hertz. It's August 27th, 1991, and we're here in Snohomish, Washington, speaking with Lonnie Fry. Welcome.
Hello, Roger.
1933, you went up to Brooklyn. Max Carey was the manager. What was your first day like?
I don't remember what the first day was like, but it was quite an experience for me, getting into Brooklyn itself and taking a cab drive from the railroad station over into Brooklyn and getting in the ballpark. And Max Carey looked at me. He says, "See," he says, "you're just a kid." He says, "you're no bigger than a minute." And a few other things, comments he made that I still remember.
22 years old.
Yeah.
How old were you when you signed?
I was, I signed in 32 with the Nashville ballpark.
And one year later already, you made it.
Well, about a year and a half, yeah. And the only reason I went up that year is because the Brooklyn Ball Club had three or four infielders hurt, and so they needed some help and called me up.
When you signed, how did your family feel about it? What were you doing before you signed?
I was playing ball. I lost my job. I was laid off, and I played amateur ball in St. Louis with a former minor league ball player who asked me after we had won the National Amateur Championship in Cincinnati in 31. He asked me if I'd like to go away to play ball professionally. I said, "That's what I'm thinking about." It was a dream of mine for quite a long time.
Who signed you?
Jimmy Hamilton at Nashville. And I went down to spring training in 32 with that ball club, and they farmed me out to Montgomery, Alabama. Class D ball then. And that, of course, that was during the Depression. And so the class, that Class D league down there blew up after about 30 days. Couldn't get enough attendance out, so they sent me up to New York Penn League in York, Pennsylvania, and finished out the season up there.
And on that Brooklyn team, were there any players particularly that you remember?
Oh, yeah. Remember them all, just about. Casey, of course, next year, Casey was our manager, Stengel. And he was there. I was played with him for 3 years. And we had the first year when I first got up there that fall, they had quite a few old-timers. Hack Wilson and Danny Taylor and a few other, Joe Stripp. Al Lopez was a catcher. He was had just broken in about a year or two before that. And they helped me out quite a bit. They didn't play a whole lot. We had Ralph Boyle in the outfield, a couple other younger guys that played. And Danny and Taylor and Hack Wilson pinch hit and played occasionally. But they helped me out, told me a lot about the different pitchers that were pitching against us and helped me along that respect.
Lefty O'Doul was on that team?
No, Lefty was there before 32, I think. I remember Lefty, I think, was about retired around that time.
But the next 3 years you played for Casey Stengel.
What was
that like?
We didn't do too well, I tell you that. We had still had a few old-timers on a ball club, and they brought up some young kids. And I don't know, in those days, you know, a young kid playing, he's out there just trying to hold a job and make have a few good days. And we didn't do real well, I tell you that.
That first year, full year, you hit what, about 280 something?
I don't remember that.
But
anyway, I'll tell you what happened to me. I had hurt my arm. I didn't hurt my arm, but my arm was sore. And I had a lot of problem in Brooklyn trying to throw the ball overhanded from shortstop, and I got into a lot of problems with making errors and throwing the ball into the runners. And I couldn't figure out why in the world my arm was sore, because I'd never had a sore arm in my life. So third last day game of the season in 33 or 34, I don't know which it was, Dick Bartel, Billy Urbanski hit a ground ball down to short. I went down the field and came up and hit me in the mouth and knocked out three teeth. And I found out where my sore arm was coming from. I had abscess teeth. And I had those taken out, and my arm's been fine ever since. But that got me in trouble up in Brooklyn with the fans. I made too many errors. And Casey tried me at second base, tried me in the outfield, and just didn't work out. So they sold me to Chicago.
For cash or other players?
No, the other players. I don't remember who. I think it was a pitcher and the shortstop, an old time English, Woody English was one of them, and Roy Henshaw, I think, was a pitcher, something in Chicago.
Well, from those first few years in Brooklyn, who do you remember playing against? Who was the toughest pitcher in those years?
Well, let's see, we played against both of the Deans and Carl Hubbell and Al Schumacher for the Giants. And we had a tough time with everybody.
What were the fans like?
Oh, the same old Brooklyn fans. They haven't changed. they were raucous. And if you didn't have a pretty good day, you know, they let you know about it.
Casey stories? Was Casey as much?
Casey had some great stories to tell and kept everybody entertained. I really don't think he had much of a chance to do anything with that ball club. I don't understand why, but the pitching, I'm sure the pitching was the biggest problem he had. But we scored runs. We always seemed to score runs, and couldn't hold them down. Our games were 10-9, 9-8, 7-6, something like that. So it was tough to come up with a winner.
Well, later on, you played under Bill McKechnie. Was Casey in that league as a manager? Were you surprised later on when he had the success that he did?
You can't say a manager. I think it's hard to say the manager is a lousy manager or a good manager. You got to have some ball players, and Casey showed that with when he went over to New York for the Mets and with the Yankees. And McKechnie, of course, is always a good percentage manager, and McKechnie was a developer of pitchers, though, and he always had good pitching. He could look at a fella and pick out his flaws, correct him.
Then in 1937, you went over to Chicago, the Cubs.
Yeah.
And who were some of the players from those teams?
We should have won the pennant over there that year, 37. We had a 7 or 8 game lead going into New York late in the season series, and we were playing one particular ball game, and we had about a 5 or 6 run lead and got beat from that day on. Well, I think one of our best pitchers got hurt. Ernie Lombardi hit a line drive back at him and broke his hand. And that, I think, was probably the big reason why we didn't win the pennant that year. We went on a losing streak, and the Giants took over and beat us out. And that was really a shocker because, gee, the Cubs had a good ball club that year. And I was more or less fill-in, extra utility man. Somebody got hurt. They had Herman and Jurgis and Hack on the infield. And there's nobody going to beat them out of a job, that's for sure.
Gabby Hartnett was
Gabby Hartnett was a catcher. We had a good pitching staff. We had, let's see, in the outfield, we had Frank DeMarie, Augie Galan, and let's see, who was our...
Joe Marty.
And we had another outfield, too. I can't remember his name.
Steinbeck,
yeah. And the Cabaretto in first. They had a good ball club. Pitching was very good. I don't know. Just one of those things. Just the Cubbies' tough luck. They always seem to have bad luck for some reason or other.
What were the crowds like in Chicago as opposed to Brooklyn?
Oh, they weren't anything like the Brooklyn crowd, that's for sure. They're good ball fans.
Some of these players, later Hall of Famers that you played with, what were they like off the field? Especially
just like you and anybody else.
Especially when
enjoyed themselves and did what normal people would do.
Did they help you out? Pretty much a young guy, or
Chicago? Well, you know, I've had 3 or 4 years under my belt before I went over there, and actually, I was pretty well set as far as I was concerned. But I thought that I could play regular almost anywhere. That's a confidence I had in myself. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was only over there 1 year in Chicago.
Next year, Cincinnati.
Next year, they traded me to Cincinnati. I went down to spring training with Cincinnati, and I couldn't understand why they got me. But Bill McKechnie took over in the ball club, and we got down there, and he asked me, he says, "You're my second baseman this year." And even though I never played much at second base, he said, "Going out there and work out and familiarize yourself with the different moves you have to make." So that was it.
Why did he move you to second from short?
Well, my arm was question mark. I couldn't. Shortstop was not my position, that's for sure, as far as pro ball is concerned.
What was the road life like in those days?
Oh, it was great. I loved it. We really enjoyed the road trips. Train rides were great, and I loved them anyway. And food was wonderful. Couldn't ask for anything more. Train rides, of course, allowed all the guys to play some cards and pass the time on our day trips and so forth.
So in 38, you moved to Cincinnati and became a regular.
Yeah, I played second base regularly for the Reds.
And that team was better than...
Well,
others?
We had... McKechnie went out and got a few ball players. Cincinnati had a pretty good farm system. They had Harry Kraft and Frank McCormick. And they had Ivo Goodman there and Billy Myers, shortstop. And they brought in Bill Werber. They got him from, I think, the Yankees. I'm not sure. But I know Bill played for the Yankees third base. And Bill, of course, had good pitching. He got Bucky Walters from Philadelphia. Paul Derringer was there. And Joe Beggs, he picked up as a relief man.
Johnny Vandermeer?
And Johnny Vandermeer came on the cup year or so later, I think. Yeah, he came in about 40 or 41. I'm not sure what years he had those.
Looks like 38 here.
38 he had the two no-hitters?
Oh, I don't know when he had the two no-hitters.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think Johnny was, at that time, was a regular starter. I can't remember for sure. But let's see, he threw those all-star two no-hitters in Brooklyn. First night game they ever had, he had the second one. What year was that?
That was 39.
39 or 40, yeah.
Then 1939 was a good year.
That was a great year. Lombardi was, and Goodman and Frank McCormick were hitting home runs like there was no contest. And let's see, Werber was leading off. He hit well, and I hit second most of the time. And let's see, Goodman and Frank McCormick and Lombardi and Harry Kraft. Let's see, and Billy Myers. Billy Myers is a great shortstop.
How so?
Oh, Lord, he could do everything. He could steal bases. Great arm. He never made a wild throw. I can't remember him ever making a bad throw. Great hands, great pair of hands. Could run, could steal bases when he had to. Or in those days, you didn't run unless it meant the ball game, stealing bases and so forth.
But the next year, you led the league in stolen bases.
Well, that was accidental because Bill McKechnie didn't, he wasn't a hit and run man, and he wasn't much on stealing unless he has somebody that might have a chance to steal a base in a close ball game, you know. But we had a type of ball club that if we could go out, and Bill always played for one run. If we got one run, he said, they got to get two. And with our pitching staff and with the defense we had, Harry Kraft and Goodman, and our biggest problem was left field. We had three or four left fielders. Elmer Riddle, no, when it pulled it. Ripple, Jimmy Ripple.
And
we had Berger, Gamble, Wally Berger, Gamble, and
Bongiovanni.
We just couldn't find a left fielder to make it from one year to the next. But we went out there feeling so confident to win a ball game. That it was just almost ridiculous to say that we were going to get beat. We had starting pitcher. Elmer Riddle was a great starting pitcher for us. I don't think it was 38. I think he came on 39 or 40. Yeah.
And Bucky Walters led the league with 27 wins then.
Yeah, Bucky had a great year. And Derringer, of course, he was the type of a pitcher that if you had to win a game, boy, I tell you, there was a guy to put in there. He'd rear back and throw that ball past you. He was something else. But he was a guy that, he said, if we're going to play more than nine innings, he says, you better get me a run. He says, I'm not getting paid to play more than nine innings. And he was tough, really tough.
In that year, who was the toughest pitcher for you to face?
Well, it depends on the day. Some days anybody gets you out. And other days you could hit, luck went in somehow.
But you had a pretty good year that year. You made the All-Star team.
Yeah, no competition. No, we all had pretty good years those couple of years, 39. 38 was the start of it. See, in 37, Cincinnati was in last place. And Bill came over in 38, and we finished fourth. And, geez, everybody was really fired up. Of course, next year, 39, we won it, and 40, we won it. And 39, the World Series with the Yankees, we just got wiped out. It was tough. We had St. Louis and the Giants, and I don't remember who else was in the fight for the pennant that year, but boy, it was a dogfight all the way. Brooklyn came on then, too, later on in 40 and 41.
Well, St. Louis was second in 39.
St. Louis,
right.
Yeah.
And then, then you played the Yankees in the World Series.
Played the Yankees in the World Series and got wiped out, really, 4-0. And they had a great ball club. Jeez, I tell you. They were ready for us. I don't know how many days we had between the winning the pennant and the World Series. We didn't have a whole lot of time to rest up.
Well, they won 106 that year.
Oh, yeah. They were at a great ball club.
What was it like stepping onto the field for your first World Series game? In New York or Cincinnati?
Yeah, it was a little bit of an experience, I'll tell you that.
Was it a home game?
I don't remember where we opened up at home or in New York, but that series is almost like a blank in my mind. I can't remember anything that happened.
Well, first game
except
was...
we didn't score many runs.
First game was in Yankee Stadium.
Was it?
Yeah. Roughing pitched against you.
Yeah.
What was that like? Take yourself back, what is it now? It's 52 years.
Yeah. Well, all I can remember about roughing is that he was out there fogging that ball and hitting the corners like you wouldn't believe. All their pitchers there, geez, they just, I don't know, we couldn't do a thing. We couldn't get anything started. And I don't know if any, who hit on our ball club. We had very few hits.
But you played with DiMaggio or against DiMaggio in the All-Star game where he got a home run.
Yeah.
What was that like? What kind of a player did you?
Well, like everybody says, Joe is probably one of the best to ever come around. Come along, Joe and Ted Williams and those guys in the American League. They were just superstars. And the Yankees had all the, they had some great pitching too in those days.
What do you remember about the All-Star game? Is that the only one you played in?
No, I made three of them, I think. 39, 40, and... I don't remember what years they were. Anyway, those were great. Those are great days for the guys because they get together with all of with all the fellas you play against all the time. And you really have a good time. You really enjoy it.
Play to win?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Any one moment from your first All-Star game that you remember?
Let's see. I got a couple of hits, I think. That's about the only thing. Got picked off first base. Got a base hit off a feller. And
that's pretty
picked
good.
Me off first base. We had a who was the catcher? Who was hitting after me in the All-Star game?
Mickey Owen,
yeah. We went up to the plate. Of course, the managers didn't give any signs. We just made things up amongst ourselves. He says, on the first pitch, you get on base, he said, on the first pitch, you go. He says, I'm going to try hit and run. So I got picked off.
Who was managing?
I don't remember who our manager was. Didn't make any difference.
Charlie Grimm?
Charlie Grimm?
Maybe.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. The Cubs must have won then the year before. Yeah.
Then the next year, Cincinnati won again.
Yeah, 40. That was a little better result. We had a little easier time that year, even though Brooklyn was coming on pretty strong. They had picked up a few good ball players, and Jackie Robinson and came on and... 40, yeah. Let's see, Robinson.
No, Robinson came up in 40.
He came up in 48, yeah.
But DeRosa was managing the Brooklyn club, and Cincinnati still won 100.
Yeah. We were making a lot of double plays. And I remember one occasion, late in the season, we were about to ready to break the record and making double plays, and DeRozier's coaching first base. He said, "You guys are not going to break the double play record against my ball club." And so what he did, the first guy get on base, he'd have him running the first pitch. But we eventually made a double play on him somehow, either line drive or pick somebody off. But that's the way he was. I played for him one part of one season with the Giants. Came up late in the season one year with the Giants, and they were trying to win the pennant, and they needed somebody with experience to fill in case somebody got hurt. So he brought me up in 48, I think it was, and he was really, I tell you, I really enjoyed playing for him. He was in the ball game all the time. He was always looking for an advantage, you know. And he found them, usually. He had good coaching. Charlie Dressen, all of like that, who are just great, great baseball men.
Is there anybody, I know you're watching a game as we're
talking.
Oh,
I'm not watching.
Is there anybody today managing, or let's say within the last 10 years, who you would compare to some of the managers you played for?
Well, I think Lasorda does a real good job down there in Los Angeles. Giants manager has been successful.
Craig
has been really successful down there. I think he's had some tough breaks. Playing in that ballpark is one of the toughest places you can play. Let's see. I don't know any of those other guys. Lasorda, I knew him. I can't think of anybody else that stands out in my mind right now.
Well, let's go back to 1940 for a while. You played, you won the pennant, you won 100 games that year, pretty good team. Then you went into the World Series against the Tigers.
Yeah. They had a good ball club. They had good pitching, too. Real good ball club. We were lucky to win, lucky to beat them. Jimmy Ripple made a great play out in right left field. McKechnie picked up Jimmy Ripple, I think, late in the 1940 season and put him out in left field. He was playing left field in the series, and he made a great diving catch of a ball that really helped our ball club win the series, I'm sure. And Jimmy Ripple hit well, too, in the series. And we had our good pitching again. Stood up for us. Bill Werber was a strong supporter, very well experienced. And let's see, we had, of course, we got the good pitching again. There's one pitcher with Detroit, Bobo Newsom. He was tough. I think he beat us two ball games,
mm-hmm.
didn't he?
Yeah. Bridges beat you one.
Yeah. Schoolboy Rowe, I think, was another pitcher. He was tough.
Trout.
Dizzy Trout, yeah. They had a good ball club. We were lucky to win.
Pretty good offensive team, too.
Yeah, yeah. As always, it seemed like Detroit had the offense.
Was that a good part to play in? I mean, it's probably the only one other than Wrigley that's still around, right?
Yeah. I remember one of the All-Star games where Ted Williams hit a home run to beat the National League. Ninth inning, I think. But I, there's some talk going around. They might tear that ball club down, ballpark down, and build a new park.
When 1940 opened the series at home, when you stepped onto the field before the first game, was it different other than the fact that you were home?
That's a different ball game, yes. The World Series, of course, is always a different ball game. The crowd's all, you know, there's just excitement all around. And,
was it as exciting for you as the first time, as the year before?
Oh, sure, it's always exciting. I never played in that series. I had a broken toe.
How did it happen?
Oh, that was some stupid accident. We had a cooler in our in the dugout, and it had an iron lid on it. And they put big chunks of ice in this cooler, and with the lid on top of it, as the ice melted, I was getting a drink, and the cooler, this lid on this cooler, fell off and hit my big toe, broke it. So I got in the last play of the game, I think, the last day, the last game of the series, and threw out our local boy here, Earl. Earl.
Not Targhee.
No, not
Targhee. Averill. Yeah.
He had a ground ball to second base. I managed to throw him out somehow. I don't know how. But anyway, it was an exciting series.
Went seven games.
Yeah, went complete seven games.
Who started for you in the seventh game?
Oh, Lord. let's see. I don't know whether Derringer started. I think he did.
And what was the feeling like? You walked onto the field.
3-2.
Seventh game.
You got to win. I didn't play. I was telling you, I was sitting on a bench pulling like crazy for these guys. Eddie Juice played second base in that series.
And you won it. You were losing 1-0 going into the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, it was late, and Billy Myers hit the sacrifice fly to score the winning run from third base. And is that right? Pretty sure it was.
Well, McCormick and Ripple got a couple of doubles, and then Myers brought them in.
Yeah, that's right.
Euphoria after that.
Oh, it was it was one of those days, you know. We had
but you played, then you played three more years for Cincinnati.
40. Yeah, I was with Cincinnati a couple of years in service, and got out, was with Cincinnati in 46, and,
in 46 you came out of the service, you went?
46 I came out of the service, and I just didn't have it anymore. Two years in service, you lose it. And a few of the boys came back. Williams, of course, he was younger when he got out, and a few of those guys came back and had some good years, but I was just too old, I guess, and let's see.
You went to Chicago?
They went to Chicago. In spring training, I'll tell you what happened. In spring training with Cincinnati down in Tampa, the coach for the Yankees, Bill Cargan, who was with the Cubs when I was over there, he went by the bench before the ball game when the Yankees came in onto the field. He says, "Fry, how you feeling?" I says, "Fine, Red." That's all it was said. And the first day of the season in Cincinnati, they called me up, sir, says, you're going to the Cubs. First day in the season. I said, what? I knew I was going somewhere. I just had that feeling because I never played much in spring training in any of the exhibition games. So I knew something was up. So we got up Cincinnati. He called me upstairs just before the ball game. Said, you're going to Cincinnati. I mean, to Chicago. And I said, oh, yeah. So I went over there. I was there about a month. And they called me up in the office over there. He said, you're going to the Yankees. And I said, geez, that's great. So I went up there. Joined the Yankee ball club. And they started a 19-game win streak that day. Bucky Harris is the manager. He says, you're our lucky charm, he says, after the streak ended. And we had won 19 straight ball games. I think we tied a record that had been, I don't know how old it was. But so we got into first place, and geez, it was just a breeze from there on in. 19-game win streak puts you out in front quite a bit. Geez, he had a good ball club that year, too. Tommy Heinrich, DiMaggio, Johnson, third base, Billy Johnson, Rizzuto at short, Sternweiss at second, and first base we had, George McQuinn, yeah.
Yogi catching.
Yogi started catching that year. I don't think he caught too many games. We had Robinson. Big Robinson caught most of the games. Yogi had just come up. And they didn't know whether to make a catcher out of him or an outfielder. He did a pretty good job both places. But he hit like crazy. He was quite a hitter. And finally, they eventually made him into a good catcher. They worked with him quite a bit, and those experienced catchers they had. And he did a real good job. And he could always hit. And they had a good pitching. We had, Chandler, I think, was still with them.
Allie
Reynolds came up. He was going good, and
Bill Bevins was on there.
Bevins was, yeah, he got a little wild occasionally. And we had a left-hand Page, I think was relief man. He was hot all year. And they had another pitcher, too, that I think did a real good job.
Shea.
Oh, Spec Shea, yeah, geez. He made Williams look sick. He only had one good year that year, and they hurt his arm. But he struck out Williams, just seemed like any time he wanted to. His ball was really alive, would take off, and it pitched up and up high and tight, hit a swing through it, and it wasn't there. I feel sorry for him because when he strikes out, man, he's really upset. So, we went on then and won the pennant.
What was the World Series like that year?
Bevins pitched a no-hitter against Brooklyn. And like Cookie Lavaggetto hit a ball off the right field wall and bases loaded and beat him. It was a tough series. Brooklyn had a good ball club.
That was an all-New York series. What was that like?
Yeah. Oh, people up there go crazy, especially in Brooklyn. Boy, they love their baseball. And they knew it pretty well, too. They knew what was going on.
What was DiMaggio like in the clubhouse, even off the field?
DiMaggio's quiet. A lot of guys hung around and, you know, they sat around and talked and carried on. And Joe was quiet, very quiet. He never had a lot to say. But I remember one ball game we played in Boston. And I don't remember what time of the year it was, but Boston had a pretty good club that year, too. So So he went out. He says, let's beat these guys today. And he went out and got five hits. Five line drives that you never saw anything like in your life. Just amazing.
That was the first year that Jackie Robinson played.
Yeah.
And, you started off in the National League with Chicago that year. Any remembrances, feelings? What was it like?
Let's see, what year was that?
47.
All I can remember about Jackie is that he could get on base, and when he got on base, it was throw the rope out because he was going. He was running all the time. And he could hit. He could hit for power. He could hit for average. He just could do everything. Fielding, great, great ball player.
What were the feelings? Did you play against him in the first 2 months when you were in Chicago?
I didn't play too many games against him.
I wasn't playing. Did the Cubs play Brooklyn?
I was only there a short time. That was in, 47. I was only there for a month. And I don't know whether they played Brooklyn in that series. In that time. I don't ever... I've seen Jackie play. I don't remember whether it was in, probably on TV or something like that. I have never played against him that much, if at all. I'm sure I didn't.
Well, of course, the next year you played for the Giants for a while.
Yeah, late in the season. I came up about the last month or 5 or 6 weeks of the season, played with the Giants. And like I said, Durocher needed a little infield backup. He figured he had a pretty good ball club, too, but I don't remember much about that ball club because I wasn't there long enough to know all those guys. Played against them.
In the 14 years that you played, who would you think was the best hitter? Best fielder, best pitcher that you played with or played against?
I would say that the most consistent hitter that I played against was Paul Wehner of Pittsburgh. Day in and day out, he's going to get his base hits. And his brother Lloyd, of course, wasn't quite as average hitter, but he was a tough out also. They didn't hit the ball for a distance, but geez, he got his base hits. You couldn't play him anywhere. He'd just find a hole, no matter where he played. I remember playing shortstop, and I'd say, well, I'll fill the hole up over here, and it hit it over the other way. I'd play over there, and it hit it the other way. So, I mean, there was just no way you could defend a guy consistently. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. What else do we have? I'll tell you a guy that hurt us a lot. That was Mel Ott of the Giants. He hit the home runs off you. Let's see. Billy Herman was a tough out. He was hitting the right field all the time. Good hit and run man. And
was the home run starting to change the way the game was played?
Well, see, they hit a lot of home runs in those days, all through the 30s and the 40s. There were a lot of home runs hit. I mean, they're hitting a lot of them today. Are they always going to hit a lot of home runs? But...
take a break a minute, turn the tape over.
Yeah.